right now, we're going to talk with Lang Whitaker, NBA TV and NBA.com. Lang, it's Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Hey, fellas. I'm doing well. How are you?
You know what? Well, we've been on the air since 3, and it's been 3 hours of DeMarcus Cousins this, DeMarcus Cousins that. So I'll ask somebody on a national perspective that's outside of Sacramento. When I say Sacramento Kings and I say DeMarcus Cousins, you say what?
I say building block. You know, I know a lot of people, you hear nationally, you hear DeMarcus Cousins, and you think of all the warning signs and the flags and the everything else, and you think, well, yeah, we hear the trade rumors that have just gone on and on and on, and I've always felt kind of the other way. I thought DeMarcus is the one you want. You know, the other guys to me should be the guys in the trade rumors. I mean, DeMarcus is the guy you want to build around. That's, you know, that talent and that size and that speed and that skill and the youth, to me, still only, what, 26? You know, that is what's every team in the NBA is trying to find. And that there's a reason that I think we keep hearing his name come up in these things. You know, other things aside, that to me is the guy I want to build around. And that's my franchise cornerstone, is going to be DeMarcus Cousins. And yes, it's not a perfect situation, but I'm okay with that. I think we make it work the best you can, because finding that guy like DeMarcus Cousins, that's the impossible thing, and that's what the Kings have already done, the hard part. They found their guy.
Lang, that dead air that you hear is Grant Napier just passed the hell out because he didn't expect that. The check is in the mail, by the way, buddy, because I'm on that same page. Okay, we're gonna go away from that for a second. The Kyle Korver pickup for the Cavs. Your thoughts? I just went, whoa. He's not going to have to run around anymore. He's actually going to get to stand still and shoot three-pointers. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to a bunch of the Cavs players last week, and Channing Frye in particular. When I asked him about Korver in that offense, his eyes got really wide, and then he used a profanity that I probably can't repeat here, and just said it's going to be incredible, basically. Wow. You know, the one thing, I watch a lot of Hawks games. I'm from Atlanta originally and have watched Korver almost every game he's played with the Hawks. Offensively, if he's knocking down those threes, there's a reason he's on the court. But defensively, I think there's been some slippage the last couple of years, and particularly this year. You know, I don't know if a lot of people realize he was coming off the bench. He'd been taken out of the starting lineup in the weeks leading up to this trade. And I think if you're the Hawks and you can get a first-round pick for a bench player, that's a move you kind of have to make. You know, it also for them clears up some space and some room for Tim Hardaway Jr., who's going to be a free agent this summer. And they love the two rookies they have, DeAndre Bembry and Torian Prince. They love those two guys. They've been having to play those guys in the D League, mm-hmm. and those guys go down and get 16, 18 points every game in the D League. So that now they have a little bit of rotation space for those guys to get a chance. But for Korver, you know, offensively, yes, it's going to be a great fit with the Cavs. I wonder when they play Golden State, or if it comes down to them against some team, who is he going to defend? You know, because at some point when you're the Cavs, you've got a lot of offensive weapons, and I wonder if defensively you're going to need somebody out there. And maybe it's not going to matter. Maybe you know the best defense is a good offense, and from that standpoint, you know, Korver is the best 3-point shooter over the last 4 seasons. And maybe from that standpoint, it's a great fit. But I do think I'm curious to see how he's going to fit in defensively against teams like a Golden State or like a Houston or teams that can just throw a lot of offensive players at you. And I think they'll just target him and go right at him.
We're talking with Lane Whitaker, NBA TV and NBA.com. You know, I look at the Houston Rockets out here in the West, 31-9. Yeah. And they're just scare me when I watch them, when they're all making shots. And so I'll ask you, if they were to get matched up, and again, we can't predict the future with injuries, but assuming everyone's healthy, if they were to play the Spurs and or the Warriors in a 7-game series, would you give them a chance?
Yeah, I mean, I think more so against the Spurs. You guys have seen it through the last 2 decades. I mean, as great as the Spurs have been, the times they seem to have trouble is against these athletic teams that can really kind of push the pace against them and make them uncomfortable. And maybe that changes a little bit without Duncan there. Maybe they're a little more able to get up and down the court, but I don't think they can keep up with Houston. And Golden State, I think that's going to be a matchup that I don't know who wins that matchup. I think Golden State might have too much firepower and too much scoring for them, but you know, the way the Rockets can spread the floor, and the way they can basically have all five guys be three-point threats. I've really been impressed with some of the performances they've had from guys who are coming off the bench, and maybe the past couple of years, guys we hadn't seen that much from. But, you know, guys like Sam Decker has been really good this season, and Montrezl Harrell, and some other names of these type of guys who they've developed, and they've made them into rotation players on that team. And so I feel like, yeah, they stack up pretty well against the Spurs. Against Golden State, I think that leaves a little – it's going to be a little trickier for them, but, man, it sure will be fun to watch, won't it?
Oh, yes. With Lane Whitaker, NBA TV and NBA.com reporter, a team in the Timberwolves, and I look at Tom Thibodeau, and we were thinking that, okay, this is going to be a chance for this team to really kind of elevate, and Grant and I have talked. What are you seeing with a young team that, you know, they haven't delivered like we might have thought this year?
You know, somebody said on Twitter the other night that the Milwaukee Bucks this season have kind of been what we thought the Minnesota Timberwolves would be.
Mm.
And I think it's a pretty good observation. And maybe it's, you know, partially because the Bucks have Giannis and they have a guy who's been able to sort of just take control of things and has the ball in his hands a lot. When I watch the Timberwolves, a lot of it, you know, what you expect to see is Tom Thibodeau yelling a lot at them. And that's partially because it's Tom Thibodeau, but also because I think that they're just having trouble adjusting to what he wants them to do defensively and offensively. You know, they've only won 12 games. And I think at this point, people thought that they were going to be maybe a 500 team. I don't know if anyone thought they would be, you know, one of the top two, three teams in the Western Conference, because clearly you have a lot of great teams there. But I think we thought they'd be a little bit better than they are.
Yeah.
I would expect, you know, Towns has been great to me. I don't know what much else you get out of him. And I think Zach LaVine's been a lot better than I thought he would be.
Oh,
yes. Season.
Yeah.
So I don't know where else the growth comes from on that team. I mean, you know, they got Jang in their long-term deal, and Chris Dunn might be the guy you look for longer term to be able to turn it up a little bit, or maybe Rubio to try to score more. But I think they're still like a piece away from being a team that's going to be able to be a playoff team in the Western Conference.
And then in the East, there are the Knicks, and they once again seem like an absolute mess. You had the Derrick Rose deal, and I just cannot believe that Derrick Rose does not, you know, notify his employer that he's not showing up to the Garden. But we'll leave that aside. Even without that, here's a team that's 17-21. It's not been pleasant on the tabloids in New York, and it seems like it's the same thing year after year with the Knicks. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived in New York now for 15 years, and seen this happen year after year. And, you know, I mean, to me, the bigger picture problem with the Knicks has always been that they don't have the patience to really rebuild the thing from the ground up. And every time they get a new GM or a new coach, and they start talking about having to really build a foundation and build on top of that, then at some point they start to get a little itchy. And in New York City, you know, it's very hard to be patient and to have the patience. And I thought Phil Jackson coming in would kind of buy them that time and buy them the patience from fans who would say, hey, why, you know, instead of being asking why is this taking so long, they would say, well, look, we got this guy who's won all these titles. Let's trust him and see what's going on. Yeah, I think the arrival of Porzingis kind of in some ways works against him, because now he's so good that you want to take advantage of that right away. And between him and Melo, you have these two guys who can score and who can play and do good things. I feel like their bench is just not good enough for them right now. And I think they're going to make the playoffs. I just don't think long-term what's the prospects of this team. I just feel like the way they're built right now and the way they're constructed, they're like an eighth seed, seventh seed in the Eastern Conference. And I don't know, aside from Porzingis clearly who keeps getting better, I don't know where that growth elsewhere on the roster is going to come from.
Jimmy Butler with the Bulls, yeah. Fred Hoiberg as the coach. It's kind of a different culture. His name is being floated around. How real is that, and why would that be? Because he's a two-way player that plays both ends, and I really like Jimmy Butler.
I think a lot of teams like Jimmy Butler.
Yes.
If I'm the Bulls, it's the same as DeMarcus to me. It's like, you know, the hardest thing in the NBA is to find one of those top 10 players in the league. And we see teams every year, year after year, draft guys and trade guys, and you're just trying to find one of those guys. And there might not even be 10 of those guys, 10 building block franchise type players. And I think Jimmy Butler is probably one of those guys. You know, when he came into the league, not many people knew much about him. And he's really put in the work and become this guy. He's still under 30 years old. He can score. He's an all defensive first teamer to me. He's so versatile. You know, there was all that stuff a year ago with when Rose was there and who was the leader of this team and who wants to be the leader. And now, you know, Wade's there. So he's kind of that elder statesman leader guy. But if I'm the Bulls, this is my franchise guy, and this is the guy I'm building around. And, you know, I can see why other teams would be calling. I would be, too, if I was a GM somewhere else. And if I had a chance to get Jimmy Butler, that's a guy I'm going after right away.